All right, man. Welcome back to the One Punch Sports Podcast. I believe we're on episode 6 now. Nico, 6, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Shoot. 6.
Not really.
We got stuff already, you know, pre-recorded. So,
I said we got a lot of content. Like we mentioned to y'all before, this is going to be the second installment of our Black Women in Sports segment. First episode of it, we had Grace Flowers, academic counselor at the University of Illinois. And today we have Soraya Tinker, a recent Yale graduate. Oh, I think she just joined.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, cool.
And then I'll go ahead and let Nico introduce her more in depth. This is a guest that he actually hooked this interview up, so I'll let him do the introduction.
Well, you know what I'm saying. We got a little bit of clap now playing. we're really happy to have on. Like you said, this is the second installment of our Black Women in Sports series, and we're blessed and honored to have on, like he said, the Ivy League school, you know, Yale, have a recent Yale graduate and first round, fourth overall pick of the Metropolitan Riveters of the National Women's Hockey League.
Top five.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's all we deal with. Soraya Tinker, amazing and powerful Black woman in sports now. You can go ahead and introduce yourself. I guess you keep doing introductions, but you get what I'm saying.
Right.
Hey, y'all. I'm Soraya. Just graduated from Yale with my BA in History of Science, Medicine, and Public Health. And as previously mentioned, I was just drafted by the Riveters, and I'm super excited to be playing pro.
That's dope. So kind of just you can go ahead, Nico.
Go ahead, bro.
All right, so the first thing I just wanted to ask, so kind of like just describe what got you started in hockey, because we all three of us obviously know it's not something that a lot of African Americans partake in or like actually actively play. So kind of just tell us how you got started picking hockey above other sports.
Yeah, so I started out in dance and gymnastics, and I've always been really tall. So they were like, oh, you're probably gonna be too tall for gymnastics. So I quit. Right. And my dad's Black, my mom's white. My dad grew up playing hockey in Scarborough, so just outside of Toronto. And he experienced a lot of racism when he was playing. So he decided to put me in as a big defenseman and see how it went. And I've just been going at it ever since, so.
Sound like that worked out for the best then, huh?
Yeah, and I'm also Canadian too, so we're basically born with skates on up here, so.
Okay, so, you know, like you said, your father played, and that sort of got you into it as you pretty much outgrew, literally, you know, staying in gymnastics and everything. At what point did you see yourself having a future with it in terms of both college and, you know, maybe professional?
Yeah,
aspirations?
So I actually played soccer and basketball competitively in high school as well. And I was looking into schools for soccer and basketball as well. But hockey seemed to just be number one in my world here in Canada. And I was invited to the national U18 team tryouts, where I made the team and just decided to continue with hockey, seeing as though I had already made the national under-18 team and have a silver medal from that. So that's why I kept going. And then with Yale, I knew I wanted to continue playing in college for hockey after I had played for Team Canada. And I think that as a woman, I knew that I wasn't going to make millions of dollars playing hockey. So I chose my education first, and that's why I decided to attend Yale as an Ivy League school. So here we are.
Sounds like a great choice. It's panned out. And so my next question would just be, so kind of just speak on how it felt to, 'cause like you said, your father, he played hockey, he faced some racism, and then he decided to put you in the sport. And like you said before, you had your father to kind of look to as that, well, my dad did it and he's Black. So kind of just speak on the impact that had on you, and then also the impact you may have on other Black women growing up thinking, hey, I like hockey, I can stick with this. So kind of just speak on that if you mind.
Yeah, so as I said, my dad experienced a lot of racism, and putting me in hockey, I think we all just realized that, well, from my standpoint and his as well, it was a put your head down and work mentality. So even though I had experienced racist comments and whatnot when I was younger and playing, I think that it was always just, you know, ignore it, let it go in one ear and out the other, and just show that you're deserving to be out there, and that you can play just as well as your white teammates.
Right.
So then growing up, I actually hadn't played with another black female hockey player until my senior year of college at Yale.
Oh, wow.
Where I got to play with Kirsten Good, and I think from the moment we both stepped on campus, not knowing each other, I think you guys know how it works with your black friends and black people you meet, but we just felt like we connected right off the bat, and I was kind of a big sister for her my senior year. And since then, and with all my posts and stuff, people have been reaching out to me, and I've realized the impact that I've had and the inspiration that I've been able to provide for other female athletes of color and black female athletes, specifically in hockey.
Okay, that's a great impact to have, especially in a sport where you don't really see a lot of African Americans participating and excelling. Obviously,
yeah,
top five in the draft for a reason. So obviously, African American women excelled at a predominantly white sport and got drafted over some. So, you know, that's a great point to have. Something you should definitely be proud about.
For sure.
Okay, so with everything going on in the country, as you know, at what point did you, you know, realize that it was probably best that you started going ahead and using your platform to reach more women of color in sports, and in particular start, you know, sort of mentoring and fostering more women of color, black women, you know, in hockey?
Yeah, so I think that I just felt the need to post, just because lately I had been so passionate about this subject, and researching black women in sport and how we can help has been my focus for the past year at Yale, finishing my senior thesis. And I recognize that after the draft, I definitely had a platform and I had a league that's gonna support me with the NW. And I think that that's so important because they've had my back with all my posts. My new teammates are reaching out to me, my old teammates are reaching out to me. And I think that it's just so important as black female athletes that we use our platform to the best of our ability, because we can spread the word and use our platforms for good.
Could you give us some examples of some...
Hello? You kind of cutting out, Nico. Nico?
Yeah.
All right, what are you saying?
Oh, you can hear me right now.
Yeah, you good now. You was cutting out. Sharora, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I was saying, so can you give the list of maybe some microaggressions or any racist activities that you may have experienced, you know, over your time playing at Yale?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up, I would say the biggest thing that I went through, I mean, I've been blatantly called the N-word in the past on teams when I was younger. At Yale, I think I just noticed that Yale, for the most part, is a very privileged white school. And a lot of our athletes are in the hockey community, specifically in Yale hockey, are very privileged and very white and don't necessarily understand their privilege. And I think that my focus at Yale wanted to be for them to understand their privilege and just not make the comments that they made. So
right.
I guess one example at Yale, again, I'm not calling out my teammates. I love my teammates and want to support them. but one incident was where they cornrowed their hair on our bus ride to Princeton. And when we got off the bus, they thought it was funny that they had cornrowed their hair and were calling themselves ratchet and ghetto. And me being the person I am, it was either like go off or just keep my mouth shut and put my headphones in and go to my own hotel room. So I think that's what I did at first. And then the next day it actually continued where more people had decided to do it to their hair. And then another teammate of mine who is actually playing for the Riveters with me, who I've previously played with at Yale, decided to call them out and get my input on it and was able to talk to them and be like, do you guys realize how this is affecting Tank? Like you gotta put more thought into what you're doing here. And I suggest you apologize. So I did receive apologies from them, which is appreciated. But I think it's just overall so important that they understand that that's considered microaggression and like understand that that's not okay.
Right. And wow, that's wild. The fact that even the fact that I even thought that was too funny to begin with, and then to continue that on until the next day.
Yeah.
Definitely. Very wild, to be honest. So kind of just going back to hockey, and for our listeners who might not have too much of an idea or know too much about hockey, could you mind just telling them your position and kind of just what entails with that? Because I remember you mentioning you were on the defensive side, so you can just kind of dive into that a bit more for the viewers, well, listeners.
Yeah, so I play defense. I would say throughout my career, I used to be like a rushing defenseman where I would go end to end and and contribute more on the offensive side. But I think in college, I took a step back and was able to focus more defensively. I would say I'm more of a defensive player now, but definitely making sure nobody gets by me, making sure my strides and my skating is on point so that I'm able to pivot and whatnot when people try and come past me and stuff. But yeah, big defenseman, strong in the corners, and I think that's been the main point of my game.
So you just like to play defense for the most part? If you had
I would say so now, but right. I know that I can be I know my ability and I know that I can be an offensive threat when I need to be.
Right.
So if I have that opportunity, I still take it. But I would say I've been more defensive for my Yale team over the course of my college career.
I saw that you had the most penalty time on the squad. So you over there in the box pretty often, huh?
She fighting. What? She I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. She out here throwing hands. But I mean, that's what they do in hockey, so I mean, is it really that bad?
I mean, I feel like at Yale, I feel like I was one of the people on my team that wasn't afraid to stand up for what I believe in and stand up for my teammates that were pushed around and stuff. So
the enforcer.
I did. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even consider myself an enforcer just because of the style of play I used to play. But yeah, I mean, also, if y'all want to review some of my penalty minutes, I don't know if y'all saw my ECAC tweet, but I said some of the referees need to be replaced. So, I'm just putting that out there. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking a little bit more off the ice, could you tell some of our listeners, you know, what you graduated with bachelor-wise, what you're looking at doing, you know, in terms of if you're going to, you know, go grad school, you know, all that, so they can have a little more insight into, you know, who you are as a person and what's empowered you, you know, to take that next step as being a powerful Black woman in sports.
Yeah, so I was pre-med when I first arrived at Yale, but I just realized that was a little overwhelming and took a step back, but I was still involved in a lot in terms of my major. I majored in the history of science, medicine, and public health. So we focused a lot on the history and our mistakes we've made from a medical standpoint in American history. Definitely did a lot of research on healthcare and incarceration in the United States. And then now I'm currently applying to grad school, hoping to get my master's in public health. But I'm also obviously playing for the Riveters out of New York. And as female hockey players, we actually don't make living wage, so I'll be needing to work full-time. So I'm currently looking for a full-time position in New York, somewhere in the public health sector, to be exact.
Oh, wow. Wow. You have a lot of your plate coming up.
Brains, beauty, Black women, we love it.
Yes, for sure.
That's going to be a lot on your plate. So kind of like, well, you don't really have to go too much into like contract numbers and things like that, but another thing that's not really so common, like we really don't usually get the insight on like hockey contracts or how that works, or anything in that nature. So you kind of just want to discuss how the negotiations kind of went, or like how many years the contract was for, or just anything you feel comfortable with sharing.
Yeah, you don't have to like divulge deep, like, you know, yeah, like the nomenclature. We don't need to know how much or anything. That's your business.
Right.
Yeah, so I believe the max salary in the NWHL for a women's ice hockey player is, I want to say, $15,000. So that's max salary.
Right.
That doesn't mean that that's what we're all getting.
Yeah.
And then also just the conversation between the general managers of the teams in the league are, it's very open and stuff like that. So I think it's important that you talk to each of the teams and just find out what the coaches are about and
right.
find out where you would fit best. And then they go from there and determine where you're going to be drafted and all that. So they did an amazing job with the draft this year on Twitter, which I really appreciated being in quarantine.
Right.
But, yeah.
So then just another thing I wanted to ask. So kind of take us through like how training and preparing for like to be in hockey shape or to play a hockey game. So what would that look like? Because that's not usually something people usually talk about, or workouts and things like that.
Yeah. So for hockey players, we focus a lot on lower body strength and power. So squatting is like is probably our main exercise that we do. I would say as hockey players, we're very strong lower body wise, just because we're in like a permanent squat when we're skating, basically.
Right.
And then in terms of cardio, it's I focus mainly on like tempo runs and sprint training. So currently I've got my free weights, my dumbbells, and I've got a stationary bike set up in my room for bike sprints. But but that's what I've been doing right now.
Gotta make do with what you got.
Gotta go hard. Yes, that's all we can do.
Always.
Okay, so now that you know, like you said, you've graduated, you've been drafted, and so you've handled contract negotiations, what are your next steps? What are you doing? We've seen that you've been obviously very entrenched in the activism, making sure to use your voice and platform to continue to trumpet the plight of the Black people, you know what I'm saying, and everything going on with us in terms of systemic racism. What are your next steps?
Yeah.
What are you trying to get going? You know, what's next?
Yeah, I think right now my focus is to create awareness in the hockey community specifically, just because that's where I am and that's where I've been. But again, I think that my research I've done at Yale and the stuff that I'm specifically interested in are my main focuses. So Black female athletes in whatever sport, and being a voice. So I think that'll be really important for me in the future. But yeah, I think right now it's definitely just promoting diversity and inclusion in the hockey community and making sure that the Black players are being heard and changes are being made in the NHL, in the NWHL, in all the leagues. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's a good plan. That's especially like we've been speaking about. I don't know how I'm really trying to word it, but it's not really an area where a lot of Black people have penetrated or like constantly penetrated, like how in the NBA draft, 90% of players that get drafted are always Black, like in the NFL, things of that. Right, football the same way. So that's definitely a great plan to have, or for what you want to do, especially in that area where Black people have gotten drafted. There was even an African-American that went number one in the NHL a few years back. But you don't see something like that's where it's constant influx of African-Americans trying to play hockey. So I like the plan.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to advocate for the men's and women's game because it's just as bad on the men's side.
Yeah.
But on the women's side, it's just not as big yet. But yeah, it's important to advocate on both sides.
Have you thought about maybe starting an organization or institution that can help bring not only awareness of the sport of hockey to the Black community, but, you know, maybe, I don't know if I want to call it an academy or something of the nature, but you know how scarcely, I won't lie to you. In my years of living, the only time I discuss hockey, aside, you know, from with you and with Devontae, has been with white people. So have you ever thought about maybe getting somehow figuring out a way to get hockey to become a sort of mainstay within the Black community as well? Because as we know, we're home to many athletes, and I feel like we have a lot who can break that barrier and start to, you know, flood and join both the NHL and the women.
The takeovers. We're taking over hockey.
We need to.
For sure.
That's next.
I would say I have thought about it. I've just had my Instagram live yesterday with Black Girl Hockey Club, and I know that Renee Hess does an amazing job with our Black female hockey players. So I think that's been an important area to focus on, mainly on like the organizations that have already started. Mm-hmm. But in terms of myself, I would like to. I have so many things, so many ideas in my head that I want to put into play. I just haven't decided how I want to do so yet. Just what area I want to focus in, just because I'm so interested in like the mental health aspect of Black female athletes. I'm so interested in healthcare and incarceration and more than just hockey, more than just sport. Just interested in the whole public health area. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be important for me to pick a focus and go for it from there.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And now coming, like, let's go back to your days at Yale, kind of just dive into your career. What was your favorite game to play? It could be your favorite game from your whole career, or one game you look forward to every year you circle when the schedule came out, like, I can't wait for that game.
Yeah, I'll definitely say our Harvard games. So usually we'll have our Mandy Schwartz fundraiser, which is for a teammate that had previously passed away from cancer, and we do a bone marrow drive for her every year. So my team's been involved in that, and that's usually our Harvard-Yale game. So those games are obviously so exciting to play in. Harvard-Yale is such a huge rivalry. But I would say my favorite game that I played in my whole career was actually my last game. We played Harvard for playoffs, and we had taken it to our third game, so it was round one, and we went into, I want to say, triple overtime, and I actually shot it from the point at the end of the second overtime and scored with 14 seconds left to take it to our third overtime. And then unfortunately we lost in our third overtime, but it was like, it was just so amazing to see my teammates come together and come as one, just because I feel like we hadn't had that in the past for my first 3 years.
Right.
So definitely having that coaching change and having my teammates be there to support each other and know that we're all on the same mission was definitely exciting. But that was unfortunately the last game of my Yale career. But it was definitely the most it was intense. We played six games of hockey. We played six periods of hockey. So it was tiring.
Sounds like a good game.
Oh, it was.
Okay, so I have another question, non-hockey related, but again, going back to your Yale experience. Could you give our listeners, you know, a sort of rundown of how it was for you both being a student and then, you know, also having that student athlete, you know, label. So you're having to go to practice, workouts, eating, plus, you know, maintaining class. And did you have any issues? Was there racial tension on the campus? You know, can you give us a rundown of that experience as well?
Yeah, so I think as a student athlete and as athletes in general, we're very used to being able to manage our time. I think that's just part of being an athlete. So obviously in high school, I found it challenging with my high school career as well as hockey, but moving into college is definitely a whole nother level to it. I'm like, I love to plan. I love to have things all set out. So I was able to manage my time effectively and be able to take care of myself. But I think it's definitely mentally taxing and emotionally taxing. And I think that it's so important to reach out and get the help when you need it. I know I have a Black therapist at Yale Health that I would attend to, that I would go to her meetings weekly. And I think that was so important for me to focus on my mental health. But I think the racial tension really only occurred for me when I stepped into the arena at Yale. So I think that entering the white space was a little much for me every day, but at the same time, Yale's campus is so open and so welcoming. So stepping outside the rink was what helped me, and gaining friends and faculty members supporting me on Yale's campus was so important when I needed support outside of the white space I was in at the rink.
Okay, that's good to know, man, because a lot of people don't have that escape. Well, a lot of athletes don't get that same escape, you know, don't use regular life to escape sports, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
They're screwed, you know what I'm saying? That's all they have, essentially. So we appreciate that, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely appreciate that insight. And then this will probably be my last question. So what was, out of all your year that, actually, it'll be like, no, it'll be, this will be my last question. So out of all your time at Yale, out of all the games you've played in your years playing at Yale, what is your favorite Yale hockey moment? It could be a game-winning goal. It could be you got into it and you won the fight. It can be anything.
I mean, that might have happened a few times, but
favorite moment from your career.
Honestly, I would say my favorite moment of my career was the conversations I was able to have my senior year with my new coaching staff that was hired. So I had a different coaching staff my first 3 years, and then Mark Golding came in my senior year. And although all my coaching staff are white, I think it was so important that they were so open to having those conversations with me. And I think that there was numerous times throughout my senior year where I just felt comfortable going into my coach's office and just talking to him about whatever, and talking to him about the things I could improve on, and what the team can improve on, and how we include each other at the rink. And he was just so open to learning. So I think that having that experience was definitely life-changing for me in terms of hockey, because I was planning on retiring after my Yale career.
Wow.
So it was so important that my coach was able to listen and help me fall back in love with the game, just because I had totally just not wanted to be at the rink, not wanted to be on the ice, not wanted to do what I needed to do. But he was so open to listening and contributing, and going to Yale athletic department and getting their input and putting my input.
Wow, that sounds dope.
Coaching
matters. Everybody out there listening, coaching really does matter.
So well, the right ones, people.
Well, we won't keep you for the rest of the day. We appreciate you coming on and sharing your insight about your experience being a Black woman in a sport where not a lot of Black people are actually in. So we appreciate you coming to give us that insight.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's no problem at all. Thanks, Nico, for setting this up for us. And like we said, this is the second installment to our Women in Sports series. So like we said, we just want to thank Soraya for coming in and sharing her insight. And we'll be back with you guys with the next episode when it comes out. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate the sports, and we're all right. Out.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all okay, take it bye. Easy.